Thanks for joining us. I'm Sean Corcoran, and welcome to a special edition of The Point. 7 years ago on this show, we traveled to Provincetown, to an old weathered barn that was built in 1907 in the dunes there by the artist Charles Webster Hawthorne. The barn hosted Hawthorne's Cape Cod School of Art, and for more than a century it attracted some of America's most talented art students and instructors. Back in 2007, we told you about how, despite the barn's prominent place in American art history, it was facing the possibility of being sold and turned into condominiums. But a wonderful thing has happened. The barn's no longer threatened by development. Instead, it's experiencing a 21st century revival. A nonprofit called 20 Summers, led by the writer Joshua Prager, saved the barn. And once again, art and music are being created within the barn's walls. This past Saturday, WCAI's Brian Morris and myself returned to the barn, this time to record a special music and spoken word performance there. The selections are centered around the theme of the ocean. It includes readings by Prager, the novelist Julia Glass, and M.T. Anderson, who produced the performance. The music is performed by two local groups, the Arnais String Quartet and the Broken Consort. The event is titled Rich and Strange, and as it reads in the program, the musical pieces reflect the sea in many of its moods, dark and light, as life-giver and destroyer. The readings are from poets and writers, both ancient and modern. Today we bring you excerpts from the event, beginning with the early medieval hymn, Ave Maris Stella, then readings from Herman Melville and Emily Dickinson, as well as selections from Samuel Barber's Dover Beach, followed by a reading of Robert Lowell's poem, Quaker Graveyard in Nantucket, and finally, an excerpt from Robert Johnson's Full Fathom Five. We hope you enjoy this special edition of The Point. And now the performance titled Rich and Strange from the Charles Webster Hawthorne Art Barn, deep in the dunes of Provincetown.
Spirit. From Moby Dick by Herman Melville. Here is an artist. He desires to paint the dreamiest, most enchanting, romantic landscape in all of New Hampshire. What is the chief element he employs? There stand his trees, his meadow, his cattle, his cottage, his mountains. Yet all are in vain, unless his eyes are fixed on a stream. Go visit the prairies in June, when for mile after mile you wade knee-deep through tiger lilies. What is the one charm lacking? Water. There is not a drop of water there. Were Niagara a waterfall of sand, would you travel 1,000 miles to see it? Why did the poor poet of Tennessee, upon suddenly receiving 2 handfuls of silver, deliberate whether to buy a coat, which he sadly needed, or take a road trip to Rockaway Beach on Long Island? Why is almost every robust, healthy boy with a robust, healthy soul crazy to go to sea? Why, upon your first voyage as a passenger, did you feel a mystical vibration when told that your ship was now out of sight of land? Why did the old Persians hold the sea holy? Why did the Greeks give it a separate god? Surely all this is not without meaning. And still deeper is the meaning of that story of Narcissus, who saw his image in the fountain, plunged into it, and was drowned. But we see that same image in all rivers and oceans. It is the perplexing ghost of life, and this is the key to it all.
Exaltation is the Going by Emily Dickinson. Exaltation is the going of an inland soul to sea, past the houses, past the headlands, into deep eternity. Bred as we among the mountains, can the sailor understand the divine intoxication of the first league out from land?
Yeah. The Quaker Graveyard in Nantucket by Robert Lowell. In memory of Warren Winslow, dead at sea. A brackish reach of shoal off Matticat, the sea was still breaking violently, and night had steamed into our North Atlantic fleet when the drowned sailor clutched the dragnet. Light flashed from his matted head and marble feet. He grappled at the net with the coiled, hurtling muscles of his thighs. The corpse was bloodless, a botch of reds and whites. Its open, staring eyes were lusterless dead lights or cabin windows on a stranded hulk, heavy with sand. We wait the body, close its eyes, and heave it seaward whence it came, where the heel-headed dogfish barks its nose on Ahab's void and forehead, and the name is blocked in yellow chalk. Sailors who pitch this portent at the sea, where dreadnoughts shall confess its hell-bent deity, when you are powerless to sandbag this Atlantic bulwark, faced by the earth-shaker, green, unwearied, chaste in his steel scales, ask for no Orphean lute to pluck life back. The guns of the steeled fleet recoil and then repeat the hoarse salute.
You're listening to a special edition of The Point and a recorded performance from the Hawthorne Art Barn in Provincetown. The barn holds an important place in both Provincetown and American art history. It's where Charles Webster Hawthorne established his Cape Cod School of Art, and over the years it's hosted some of the world's most recognized artists and writers. After facing a potential sale and the very real possibility that it would be turned into condominiums, the barn is now in safe hands, and once again, it's hosting artists, writers, and musicians. Today's point includes excerpts of music and poetry from a performance at the barn this past Saturday, May 31st. We'll be back with more in just a moment. Welcome back. I'm Sean Corcoran, and this is a special edition of The Point on WCAI. Today, we bring you excerpts from a performance this past weekend at the Hawthorne Art Barn in Provincetown. After facing an uncertain future, the barn, where Charles Webster Hawthorne established his Cape Cod School of Art, is once again hosting artists, writers, and musicians. The nonprofit group 20 Summers is hosting 4 weeks of events at the barn, including this performance, recorded May 31st, of classical music selections and readings, all centered around the theme of the sea. The poems are read by Joshua Prager, Julia Glass, and M.T. Anderson. And the musical pieces are performed by the two local groups, the Arnais String Quartet and the Broken Consort. We begin with a reading from Henry Beston's The Outermost House, as well as a selection of excerpts from George Chadwick's String Quartet No. 4.
From The Outermost House by Henry Beston. They say here that great waves reach this coast in threes. Three great waves, then an indeterminate run of lesser rhythms, then three great waves again. On Celtic coasts, it is the seventh wave that is seen coming like a king out of the gray, cold sea. The Cape tradition, however, is no half-real, half-mystical fancy, but the truth itself. Great waves do indeed approach this beach by threes. Coast Guard crews are all well aware of this triple rhythm and take advantage of the lull that follows the last wave to launch their boats. The three great elemental sounds in nature are the sound of rain, the sound of wind in a primeval wood, and the sound of outer ocean on a beach. I have heard them all, and of the three elemental voices, that of ocean is the most awesome, beautiful, and varied. The sea has many voices. Listen to the surf. Really lend it your ears, and you will hear in it a world of sounds, hollow boomings and heavy roarings, great watery tumblings and tramplings, long hissing seethes, sharp rifle shot reports, splashes, whispers, the grinding undertone of stones, and sometimes vocal sounds that might be the half-heard talk of people in the sea. I have been trying to study out the mechanics of that mighty resonance. The dominant note is the great spilling crash made by each arriving wave. It may be hollow and booming. It may be heavy and churning. It may be a rumbling roar. The second fundamental sound is the wild, seething cataract roar of the wave's dissolution and the rush of its foaming waters up the beach. This second sound, diminuendo. The third fundamental sound is the endless dissolving hiss of the inmost slides of foam. Above the tumult, like birds, fly wisps of watery noise, splashes and countersplashes, whispers, seethings, slaps and chucklings. An overtoned sound of other breakers, mingled with a general rumbling, fells earth and sea and air. Away from the beach, the various sounds of the surf melt into one great, thundering, symphonic roar.
Thank you.
You're listening to a special edition of The Point with a recorded performance from the Hawthorne Art Barn in Provincetown. The barn was built more than a century ago, and over the years, some of America's most recognized artists have worked and performed there. Today's performance was recorded on May 31st with musical selections and readings devoted to the ocean. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back. I'm Sean Corcoran, and this is a special edition of The Point on WCAI. Today, we bring you excerpts from a performance this past weekend at the Hawthorne Art Barn in Provincetown. After being put up for sale and facing the possibility of being turned into condominiums, the Hawthorne Barn is experiencing a 21st century revival. Artists, musicians, and writers are once again working in the barn. And today's show includes a selection from a Saturday, May 31st performance at the barn, with all the songs and readings based around the theme of the ocean. Coming up, a reading of Stanley Kunitz's The Wellfleet Whale, a performance of the spirited sea shanty Adieu and Farewell to You, Spanish Ladies, a selection from Martin Kodak's Cantigas de Amigo, and excerpts from Ovid's The Deluge from the Metamorphosis. Also included are selections from Matthew Locke's The Tempest, a reading of John Ciardi's Lobster Music, music from Emily Lau's song By Chance, a reading of Scott Chaloner's poem Leaving, and the John Masefield piece Sea Fever, and to conclude the show, a selection of music from Matthew Locke's The Tempest. The poems are read by Joshua Prager, Julia Glass, and M.T. Anderson, and the musical pieces are performed by two local groups, the Arnais String Quartet and the Broken Consort.
From The Wellfleet Whale by Stanley Kunitz. Voyager, chief of the pelagic world, you brought with you the myth of another country dimly remembered, where flying reptiles lumbered over the steaming marshes and trumpeting thunder lizards wallowed in the reeds. While empires rose and fell on land, your nation breasted the open main, rocked in the consoling rhythm of the tides. Which ancestor first plunged head down through zones of colored twilight to scour the bottom of the dark? You ranged the North Atlantic track from Port of Spain to Baffin Bay, edging between the ice floes through the fat of summer, lob-tailing, breaching, sounding, grazing in the pastures of the sea on krill-rich orange plankton crackling with life. You prowl down the continental shelf, guided by the sun and stars and the taste of alluvial silt on your way southward to the warm lagoons, the Tropic of Desire, where the lovers lie belly to belly in the rub and nuzzle of their sporting. And you turned like a god in exile out of your wide primeval element, delivered to the mercy of time. Master of the whale roads, let the white wings of the gulls spread out their cover. You have become like us, disgraced and mortal.
Farewell and adieu to you, Spanish lady. Farewell and adieu to you, ladies of Spain. Our captains commanded we sail for New England, but we hope in a short time to see you again. We rant and we roar like New Bedford whalers. We rant and we roar on deck and below until we sight down the channel to anchor we'll go. We hove our ship to with a wind from the southwest. We hove our ship to for to strike soundings clear. And we filled our min topsail and bore right away, boys. Straight up to the harbor, our course we did steer. We rant and we roar like New Bedford whalers. We rant and we roar on deck and below until we sight the New Bedford light. And straight down the channel to anchor we'll go. Now let every man toss off a full bumper. Let every man toss off a full glass. And we'll drink and be jolly and drown melancholy. Sing, here's a good health to each true-hearted lass. We rant and we roar like New Bedford neighbors. We rant and we roar on deck and below until we sight the New Bedford light. Head straight down the channel to anchor we'll go. We rant and we roar like New Bedford whalers.
Description of the Flood from Ovid's Metamorphoses, translated by Alan Mendelbaum. Neptune lifts high his trident, strikes the earth. It shakes and, as it shudders, frees a pathway for the waters. As they leap across their banks, they flood the open fields, orchards and groves and herds and men and homes and shrines, and all the sacred things they hold are swept away between the sea and land. One cannot draw distinctions. All is sea, but with no shore. One man seeks refuge on a hill. Another rows in his curved boat, where just before he'd plowed. One sails across his fields of grain or over the submerged roof of his villa. Sometimes an anchor snags in a green meadow. Sometimes a curving keel may graze the vines. Where grateful goats have grazed among the grass, the squat sea lions sprawl. And undersea, the nereids, amazed, stare hard at cities and homes and groves. Through woodlands, dolphins roam. They bump against tall branches, knock and shake oak trees. The wolf now swims among the sheep.
Lobster Music by John Ciardi. There was a man in a lobster boat. His traps were made of fiddle strings. And every lobster that he caught played him a tune. The middle strings were set to play "I'm Bound Away" at the scrape of a lobster's claw, while the treble would twinkle, 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 and the bass "I Dreamed I Saw." And as soon as he heard the music start, the lobster man began to cry, for the music made him sad at heart, though he didn't exactly know why. Except that he thought of the lobster pot and the lobsters bubbling away, with never a song to cheer him along and never a tune to play, but bubble, bubble, toil and trouble, as sad as a tune can be. And that is why, he said with a sigh, when I drop my traps in the sea, I like a song to cheer along my pets. And you will agree that it gets too hot when you're in the pot for a proper melody. So sing while you may, I always say, and boil when you must, says I. For a bit of a song is never wrong, though you're hoisted high and dry. And I like a bit of a tune, I do, when lobsters are on the way, boiled and buttered, or in a stew, or cold in a salad for lunch next day. Leaving by Scott Chaloner. Dazzling the whiteness of the harbor, the masts appearing first in the sun spray like needles of ghostly metronomes, bodiless larghettos in their own time emerging, a nocturne of hidden snows that landscape the sea. And if you sit long enough on a rock, late into the afternoon, growing cold under the awning of a dream, staring, hearing them, your mind may begin to glide, and you find you are standing, beginning the walk home, moving among open sounds.
Sea Fever by John Masefield. I must go down to the seas again, to the lonely sea and the sky, and all I ask is a tall ship and a star to steer her by, and the wheels kick and the wind's song and the white sails shaking, and a gray mist on the sea's face and a gray dawn breaking. I must go down to the seas again, for the call of the running tide is a wild call and a clear call that may not be denied. And all I ask is a windy day and the white clouds flying, and the flung spray and the blown spume and the seagulls crying. I must go down to the seas again, to the vagrant gypsy life, to the gull's way and the whale's way, where the wind's like a whetted knife. And all I ask is a merry yarn from a laughing fellow rover, and a quiet sleep and a sweet dream when the long trick's over. Thank you.
This has been a special edition of The Point on WCAI, with a selection of readings and music recorded at the Hawthorne Art Barn in Provincetown this past Saturday, May 31st. You can learn more about the barn, its history, and the events planned at the barn by visiting the website 20summers.org. Special thanks to WCAI's Brian Morris for his assistance recording and producing today's Point. Thanks to all the performers who participated in the show, and thanks to you for listening. I'm Sean Corcoran.
Amy Vince produces The Point, with assistance from Jenny Junker. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter. The Point is a production of the Cape and Islands NPR stations, a service of WGBH.